A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.
This is Jaden Reed, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man here on a sleepers day. We're talking about targeting these nine sleepers in your 2024 fantasy football draft. Very SEO friendly. Thank you, Cody Carpentier, for the title. I guess we're doing nine of them, and these guys are sleepers. Cody, you said in the group text last night what dudes that we're looking at between rounds 10 and 18 in these early redraft leagues, and really just for now, best ball. These redraft ADPs are just so much wildly more different than these best ball ADPs, where you have all these kind of galaxy brain best ball bros, you know, doing all the super super zero RB stuff. We know it's not going to be like that when it comes to redraft season in earnest, but that's the way it is right now. And I think it gives us a good gauge of who, you know, these are going to be late round dudes, right? These are late round players. Let me ask you guys before we talk about sleepers just to begin with, and I'll tell you how I preface this. I have a couple of wide receivers and some other, you know, some running backs, but typically whenever I'm thinking about guys who could be sleepers that I could hold on to that are super, super meaningful in these drafts, it's really, really rare that you can get around 15 Odell Beckham Jr. in his rookie season or, you know, this kind of thing. There are always the guys like the Jaden Reeds last year, these kinds of receivers. The ones that are the really, really meaningful ones are whenever you draft the Devon Achans or the Kyren Williams or these kinds of players coming into the season, because they could be bedrock running backs for you in redraft, which clearly is a lot different than best ball as far as the structure, the scoring, all the rest of it. So typically, you know, even though I'll talk about some wide receiver sleepers, typically when I'm like really mining and trying to find these sleepers, Cody, like, do you feel the same way that most value can be kind of found in mind in these redraft leagues by identifying the running back sleepers?
Yeah, running backs are definitely the easiest one, because as everybody knows, year in and year out, the attrition with the running backs, where you see more and more injuries every single year, allows the guys that are running back three, running back four. So, you know, without even table talking, this isn't the name I'm going to use, but for example, if you just watch that Isaiah Davis, Braylon Allen situation with the Jets right now, we know where Breece Hall is going off the board. It's like, those are the type of guys that may have an opportunity to break out and become a sick value at some point. I'm not saying they're draftable in the first 18 rounds, but, you know, guys that do fall out of drafts and you end up spending a bunch of fab on, that's just the art of the game. So I think that's why the running back position makes it so much easier to find some of those sleepers.
And the other thing is, and Trash Man knows this, it's like with these wide receivers, it doesn't just happen where if a running back goes down, right, somebody has to step up into predictable, projectable volume. When a wide receiver goes down and it's like the stud wide receiver, we've seen this a million times, you know, will want to play the third wide receiver or the second wide receiver in DFS because he's stepping up into the number one role and the target share should be elevated and he's at a depressed price, you know, and the studies have shown year after year, it just doesn't work like that. That wide receiver productivity is not replaced in the same way that the running back productivity is. That being said, Trash Man likes to get trashy on late round wide receivers for sure. I have a couple of wide receivers as well. So these are our sleepers. Which one of y'all wants to kick it off? Do you want me to kick it off? How are we going to do it?
Go ahead.
All right. So my first one And it is a wide receiver. And I don't know if you guys are going to think it's super trashy, but he's a guy who in these underdog drafts I've been getting fairly regularly at his ADP. As usual, I'm super, super prepared for this. I don't even have the ADPs pulled up, so let me get that done. But this is DJ Chark, and I know it sounds gross, but if you look at the ADP on him, ADP of 204.5. You can get him in the last round of your best ball. You get round 17, round 18. And for me, it's really simple. It's just the so many vacated targets and kind of bad players there to step up into those roles for the Chargers and a really good quarterback. DJ Chark, I don't think he's dusted. I don't think he's done. He's still fast. He's still big. Is he better at this point in his career than Quentin Johnston? I don't know. Quentin Johnston certainly, I think, you know, a good bit more expensive. Quentin Johnston's ADP right now is 144. So you're having to take him at the 12, 13 turn, whereas you're looking at a 17th, 18th round guy as far as arbitrage and DJ Chark. But you know, you lose Mike Williams, you lose Keenan Allen, you lose Gerald Everett. There's more available targets there than any other offense. And I got to thinking about it. And you know, what people are going to say is they're going to say, but Alex, it's Harbaugh. Look what he did at Michigan. All he does is run. He wants to run. Look how they're building the team. Look at the linemen that they're drafting. They didn't take Malik Nabers, all this stuff, right? It's not going to be in their MO to throw it. And I can understand that. But I wanted to look back and see just when Harbaugh was with the 49ers, what the number of passing attempts, right, on those teams. And it wasn't ever great. Whenever it was Alex Smith at first, and then there was sort of a pass off from Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick, right? And I think we can all agree with Colin Kaepernick, probably not. He's not a guy who you're dying to get back there and have as a drop back passer, right? But it wasn't like he was ever like 32nd in the league and stuff. With Alex Smith, he was like 20th. And then whenever, clearly, I could have looked at the total number of attempts between Alex Smith and Kaepernick in that one year when they switched off. But that was just a weird one. But, dude, by the end, Kaepernick was like 15th or 16th in pass attempts in the league, just very middle of the road. It makes me think if he's got a good quarterback, it's not like they're just going to take the passing game and turn it to complete dust when they have an asset like Justin Herbert there. So it's a very nebulous situation with the wide receivers. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And I think that we've seen that we know that Josh Palmer, you know, Byron always stands for this guy. I don't get it. I don't think he's very good. I don't think Quentin Johnston showed us anything in year one. Could he have a year two breakout? Maybe. Right, but betting on a year two breakout for Quentin Johnston at his price seems feels like less risky to me to go with like a DJ Chark here. So DJ Chark is my last round flyered wide receiver pick.
I mean, I like DJ Chark. I don't think he's going to stay that low, but I mean, I don't see him going up probably past the 9th or 10th at some point.
Who do you got, trash man?
First I have, Marquise Brown of the Chiefs.
He's not cheap anymore, trash man.
We were saying eighth round on, right?
I know that I see Xavier Worthy and see, that's the thing is when you look at this trick, cause his ADP right now, what is his ADP with all the trailing stuff?
61,
dude. We're talking now we're at the end of the fifth round. And I see, dude, I saw Xavier Worthy in this one I was doing yesterday, getting ready for an update, going at like 506, and Marquise Brown went right after him like the 508. I mean, this thing's going up.
His ADP in Fantasy Pros is in 60s right now?
Oh, no. I'm looking at Underdog just because Fantasy Pros is whack, dude. It's like it's not like how you can actually get them. And right now I think Fantasy Pros is only pulling from like RT Sports and – can you see that? Like, we'll start looking at Fantasy Pros ADP when they start pulling in ESPN and CBS and Yahoo and stuff. That, like, when it's like RT Sports and Fantrax, I just, some of that stuff feels wacky to me.
To be fair to Trashman, I did just complete a mock over there on Fantasy Pros using all those sources, and Hollywood went 706. So he's borderline on the eighth, or like he's right there. But I do think once people catch up and, you know, a month from now does happen, I think he will shoot up a little bit more. But
you could tell us about why you're high on Marquise. Like, do you still like Marquise Brown in the sixth round?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could be the number one receiver for the Chiefs this season. Rashi Rice keeps on shooting himself.
$13 million. Huh? You hope he is. He's getting paid $13 million or something.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and he played with some good quarterbacks, and he's been really good with some good quarterbacks. He never played with a great throwing quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. I think it's kind of a perfect storm. He's only, 27 this season? I feel like Marquise Brown, I mean, it's a sweet spot for him. And there's no Marquise Valdes-Scantling to vulture some of these long tosses. I think it's just like a perfect storm for Marquise Brown this season.
How does Marquise Valdes-Scantling keep getting jobs? That guy's just has. Man, he's got like those. What's the guy on Happy Gilmore, like the old caddy that gets his hand bitten off by the
Chubbs.
You know, he has that wooden hand that has all the glue and stuff on it. That's how I always think of Marquise Valdes-Scantling, man. Like wooden hands that get knocked around. He's got to glue them back on every week. All right. So Marquise Brown, I like it, especially with the Rashi Rice stuff. But dude, he's getting pretty expensive. So is Xavier Worthy. Cody?
I'm going to go out west. I'm going to stay at receiver, though. I'm going to go to San Francisco. Right now, on Underdog, Ricky Pearsall's a 12th-round pick. On Fantasy Pros, he's going about the 15th round in PPR. And this is a guy that when you look at the OTAs right now, he's getting the work in. We've only heard positives. He got the first-round draft capital. I think he's creating a connection with Brock Purdy. And it does feel – I know the season's getting closer, and it's abnormal to see a trade maybe happen between now and then, but if Ayuk's not happy, I could see them moving on and potentially vaulting him up even more. We know he's considerably better than Juwan Jennings. This creates a very sick three wide receiver core in San Francisco. And, you know, with the age of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, they should be entertaining utilizing these receivers more and more to kind of keep these guys healthy like Kittle and Deebo. So I think Ricky Pearsall in that late round, it only exposes you to upside as the season goes on with injury or with trades or whatever may happen. But they showed us with the draft cap, and we've already seen it during the first couple of days of OTAs what he looks like.
Are you doing this thing where you're just saying that Brandon Ayuk is just going to – or that Ayuk or Deebo is just going to get traded? And this is just going to happen. I'm not, but it feels like that's been built into that Pearsall price, because it's like, man, he's probably looking at probably what the fourth, fifth option in the progression.
Well, I mean, Ayuk's skipping OTAs right now, right? So he skips OTAs. Guess who's going to get those opportunities? Guess who's going to build that rapport with Brock Purdy, right? And if they can get to a point with the contract, you know, everyone down there has got Trent Williams got a big contract. Nick Bosa's got a big contract. Guess who's getting one next? Brock Purdy's going to be in line soon. Deebo's got, you know,
that's
all these
gonna
guys.
That's going to set like local sports radio just on fire. They're going to talk about that in every city. We're about to get it with Tua. They're talking about Tua is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And then Purdy's going to want it more than him. And then you're gonna have all these other dudes like Mahomes are gonna come back and say like, what? Yeah, you know what I mean? That's like the Burrow and these, like, it's, I'm telling you, man, it's gonna be interesting. But it's kind of a non sequitur, man. It's gonna be funny to watch how people, you know, Purdy's been good, but it does feel weird to make him one of the richest, highest paid quarterbacks in all.
You
of
know it's coming.
I know. I can't believe this thing that they're talking about the Tua.
He's very appealing to a lot of NFL fans, I think.
Well, people love the underdog story. He's the Mr. Irrelevant and all this stuff. He's too short. He's like, he doesn't look like he's going to be any good, but he's good. He's good for fantasy too. All right. Pearsall. I mean, come on.
Thanks, by the way, Josh.
What is that jersey, trash man? He says you got a sick jersey. What is that?
It's an old Elijah Wan.
Elijah Wan.
Jersey.
Okay. My next one, and it's another one that feels gross, dude. But I keep thinking, I've always thought about this. It's another wide receiver. Are you guys totally out on Jahan Dotson now?
No.
I think Jahan Dotson. I like Jahan Dotson with Jaden Daniels tossing that thing around.
I mean, no Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, and Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I know that there's a lot of talk there in Washington about, please, Cliff, don't put Jaden in danger of getting injured with all this, you know, all this kind of running around RPO stuff. But dude, I think that that's just kind of, I mean, whenever you hire Cliff Kingsbury, you kind of hire him to run his offense, dude. He comes from a long line of people that have incorporated these kinds of concepts, man. And with a rookie quarterback, especially one like Jaden Daniels, who, as I was going back and just like kind of, I did a little exercise just last night and the day before, where I was just going back and looking at scouting reports on these quarterbacks that had come out and the pros and the cons and stuff like that. And it's plain to see if you watch Jaden Daniels, but some of the stuff that came out from NFL executives and stuff like that, and some of these columns that come up right before the draft where you say like, well, here's what scouts are saying, or one GM told me this. They'd say that with Jaden Daniels, like, of course, there was the worry about him being too skinny and too slender and a frame. But the other one was you just worry about, like, he's just so awesome, like off platform and just out of the pocket and all the rest of, like, his accuracy is through the roof in those, but you worry about him within the, you know, structure of the play design. What better way to get him kind of integrated into the structure of the play design than to let him get these dropbacks, these quick RPO hot reads and stuff? And what better player than Jahan Dotson for that? Like, I love Terry McLaurin too, but Terry McLaurin's just a whole lot more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can see the deep shots to him. And look, I know that Dotson's not solely a slot dude, but you can see last year the way that LSU would use Malik Nabers, where he would get used outside over on the right. He'd get us sometimes out over on the left, sometimes a lot out of the slot though and stuff. And when Jaden Daniels could pull up, get right back off his back foot, get it to that dude, I think that Jahan Dotson, who, man, whenever he was coming out, so Jordan Addison came after Jahan Dotson, right? Addison was after, yeah. Yes. But I remember, like, my comp for Jordan Addison was like, dude, he's as sick as Jahan Dotson. He kind of, like, dude, we forget that Jahan Dotson was awesome. Like, he was a great, great, great prospect. And with his whole offense getting elevated, right, you feel like this is going to be a third-year bump for a dude. We used to be fine waiting. Byron has a whole article. You can search for it on Roster Watch about the third-year wide receiver doctrine, the A.J. Green doctrine. We used to talk about this. Like, they're coming into their third year. This is the year. I think this could be the year for Jahan Dotson, and you're getting him right now. At the same time, when you're taking guys like Quentin Johnston and Josh Downs and Gabe Davis and Brandon Cooks, Tyler Finley's asking, what did you put up, Cody? Is there any hope for Quentin Johnston? Sure. I mean, he's a talented dude with first round draft capital. He needs to learn how to catch. You know, probably he needs to learn some of the nuances of the game. You can't. He had a weird college profile in that being like the just such a great yards after catch guy, but not really a body for it, or stylistically the type of player that you would generally think about like that. Trashman and I would always say, like, how does he rack up these yards after catch? It's almost like his magic. It's hard to define how he would always do it. He didn't really have a calling card for it. I think he needs to find his game at the NFL level. So we'll see. Trashman, who's your next one?
My next guy Trashman's is Jermaine frozen. Burton.
Well, there he is. So he's not frozen. All right. So Jermaine Burton, what do you think?
I mean, I don't remember the last season that either T. Higgins or Jamar Chase played a complete complement of games. And Boyd has, I wouldn't say he's thrived in those circumstances, but I'd say Burton is a little bit more of an athletic specimen. Well, maybe a lot more of an athletic specimen than Boyd.
And Tyler Boyd, gosh, of course he is.
I mean, he was like over a nine athletic.
RAS score.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just feel like there's going to be opportunities for him in that Bengals offense, and you can get him really cheap right now.
Trash man, we're going to go to Cody. Why don't you reset your internet or something like that and pop back on, man? You're really slowing down here. All right, Cody, who is your next one?
Man, we got to go back to where we began this whole thing about a year ago, right? Same exact area. He was going off the draft board at the running back position, round 11, round 12. Last year, I just remember going through the mock drafts, and it was round 12. You get Kendre. Round 13, you get Roschon. I'm going back to the well with Kendre Miller down in New Orleans because they have showed us last
year. Dude, you took mine.
They want to make Kendre Miller the lead back. That's what they want. They want to move on from Melvin Kamara. They need to monetarily. And when you listen to people like Nick Underhill, he says that that's what the overwhelming drumbeat has been inside the building, is that Kendre Miller, they're looking for him to take that year two step. Yes, he was banged up coming out of college. Yes, he got banged up last fall. But that's where you get that value. That's where this value is baked in, is that people are saying, no, he's done. He's injury prone. Why? Because he came out of college with a bum knee. He took surgery, didn't test, didn't anything. And then it just kind of lingered, and he never got completely 100%. As the season went on, the MCL
turns into a hamstring, turns into like it's a bunch of compensatory injuries, Cody. And by the end, do you remember at the end of the season how sick he was, like how sick he was looking whenever he finally got some action?
That's what I'm saying. That's what they want to do with him. They want to build him into this role. And they told us at the end of last year, they've told us it all offseason. They didn't spend anything on the running back position in the draft. They've moved on from Michael Thomas. They're ready to move on from Alvin Kamara when they can. They can't quite yet. But, I mean, Kamara's right on the verge of slipping over the edge, right? That's kind of where I feel about Aaron Jones. But it feels like Aaron Jones may have a little bit left in the legs than Kamara does. But I think Kendre Miller, if he's healthy, he come into this fall, it's going to be a pretty clear difference in who has the juice and who doesn't.
All right. I think we got Trashman back possibly, although he still does look very grainy. Trashman, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, so he had Kendre Miller. I saw this this tweet earlier from Hayden Winks. He works at Underdog. It says the Saints' current wide receiver starters: Chris Olave, 13.9 yard average depth of target; Rashid Shaheed, 14.6; and A.T. Perry, 17.3. He says an unidentified player is getting more underneath targets than expected in this offense. And to me, my eyes just lit up, and I just thought, Kendre, dude. I think the obvious place your mind would go would be to Alvin Kamara. But it's like you said, man, the drumbeats there on Kendre have been there. We were in on him last year. I'm in on him in Dynasty. I'm holding, and I'm back on board this year in redraft. And do you know what the good news is it basically costs the same throwaway pick this year as it did last year. It's going to cost you a 12th, 13th round pick to get Kendre Miller. All right, trash man. Who do you got for your last one?
It's Antonio Gibson. For New England, the Patriots are just so bereft of talent, of playmakers, at least proven playmakers at this point in the offseason. I just feel like Antonio Gibson's a perfect combination of pass catcher and ball carrier to really pick up a lot of these kind of, you know, dump offs that I think are going to happen. With the Patriots offense, it just seems like of all the cast of characters that they have there right now, the Motley crew, Gibson seems like the guy with the best combination of, you know, decent floor and high upside.
I think he's fine. I think for me, it's just like finally, Ramondre Stevenson is still going way too high. He's falling a little bit. And I, to be honest, I've never taken Ramondre Stevenson before. I don't feel like over the course of certain periods of, you know, the last few seasons, it's felt like this could possibly hurt me. But in the end, it hasn't really hurt me that badly to be a guy that's kind of faded Ramondre. I've always liked his price to be super high. You know, now it becomes a little bit more of a proposition to fade Ramondre Stevenson when we see with the Antonio Gibson stuff, he's beginning to fall a little bit, but still going a little bit too high for me. To me, though, with Gibson, somebody tweeted and called him Gibby, and he just said, like, don't call me Gibby, man. Nobody calls me Gibby. So he doesn't like being called Gibby, but I do think with our guy Gibby, what he does is he does hurt Ramondre Stevenson more than anything. But for best ball, he's obviously a dude who could have some big weeks. Cody, did you have any others, or does that wrap it up?
Yeah, I got a running back. I mean, that's what we talked. We started the show telling the people about the running back position and why the running back position is important to hit later in these drafts, and why you're going to see us pound these guys
If you mention Ty Chandler again, I'm going to go jump off the bridge right into
this. Hey, you want the eighth consecutive show with Ty Chandler? No, that's not what we're doing here. Right? Ty Chandler is going to go well ahead of round 10. I don't know what you're talking about by the time the season comes around. No, round 12, round 13, the running back this year, that the rookie running back this year in this range is Jalen.
Can I guess? Right. Oh, I thought you were going to say Tyrone Tracy. Okay.
No. Give me Jalen Wright, baby. The ADP right now on Underdog is 146 right there in round 12. And on the mock draft simulator I did over in Fantasy Pros, he went in the 12th round after Roschon Johnson, after Marshawn Lloyd. Like, sign me up, man. What are we talking about with this 32-year-old Raheem Mostert? And we know A-Chain. I mean, we love A-Chain, but the archetype that he brings to the table at 185 pounds, we saw it last year. You just can't stay healthy. And what's better than a 185-pound Devon Achane? Maybe a 205-pound similar type of player to what Achane and Mostert both bring to the table. And I think you're going to get a hellacious amount of good weeks out of Jalen Wright as that running back, probably five, maybe six on your roster. So sign me up for Jalen Wright every single week in round 12.